I really sense that there's a prophetic anointing, if you'd like, upon this service today.
Yes.
Some of those songs, I just really, the Holy Spirit was speaking to us today just through the words that we were singing. We're lifting up His name, and even through the communion. And so, you know, the Bible says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say.
Yeah.
Something else I want to say, and every now and then I'll say this, but I just want to remind you, I know it sounds silly what I'm going to say, but I want to say it to you. Listen carefully. I'm the pastor of the church, but that doesn't mean I'm perfect. It doesn't mean that I've got it all together. And I live with somebody who certainly doesn't have it all together. And who knows that I really do love, I really love my wife. I like to just joke around. But I know that you do. And I know you all love her more than me. And I'm okay with that. But the point I'm saying is that when we come to the Word of God, I've got a message today that I've titled Mighty Hero. And there's going to be all sorts of places we're going to go with this message today. But whenever I prepare a message, I preach to myself as well. So, you know, I just want you to understand that we're all in this together. We're all doing life together, and we all need the Word of God. And God's anointed me and given me a gift for being able to flesh out the Word of God. And I need to operate in that gift, and that's what I'm about to do. But don't misunderstand and think, oh, well, he's so up there and closer to God than me. That's not how it is. We're all on this journey together. And there'll be some things here that I'll really emphasize as I feel the anointing upon me. But I'm emphasizing it to myself. Amen? So I want you all to know that. So today, what we're going to do, the title of the message is called Mighty Hero. And we're going to look at a famous story from the Old Testament book of Judges. It's the sixth book in the Old Testament, sixth book in the Bible. And the book of Judges spans about 350 years from the time Israel, when they conquered Canaan with Joshua, remember that? And they came in. About 350 years from that time, right through to the first king of Israel, whose name was King Saul. That period of time, the Judges. The book of Judges is fast-paced and it's just jam-packed with action. You've got to read it. It contains some amazing and inspiring stories, but it also has some very seriously weird stories, bizarre stories, sad stories in it as well. It's all there mixed together. In fact, the very final verses of the book of Judges, or the very final verse of the book of Judges, explains why it has some weird and sad stories. It says this, it says, in those days, the time of the Judges, Israel had no king. All the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. God was meant to be Israel's king. It's actually a really loaded statement, that piece of scripture. God was meant to be Israel's king, but Israel kept drifting away from the Lord and His commandments. And so, ladies and gentlemen, without the guidance of God, the people started to decide what was right for them. They decided their own sense of morality. They decided what was right and they decided what was wrong without referencing God. And when people abandon the commands of the Lord and when people do things that seem right in their own eyes, they end up doing really weird and sad things. Yes. Who knows what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
However, the story we're focusing on today is the inspiring story of a young man whose name was Gideon. Remember Gideon?
Yeah.
It's just a great story that you find over a few chapters, three chapters, Judges chapters 6, 7, and 8. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to quickly recount the story of Gideon. Some of you are not familiar with it, so it's important that you become familiar right now. So I'm going to recount the story of Gideon. And then what we're going to do is then we're going to apply Gideon's story to our own lives today. And because the story of Gideon has so much to say to us in our current time in 2023. And finally, we're going to finish off by making room for the Holy Spirit to seal His word in our hearts today. Amen. And how we need the Holy Spirit. How we need the Holy Spirit more than ever. Amen. Amen. So let me give you the quick version of Gideon's story. So young Gideon, he's young. When we first meet him, he makes a very underwhelming appearance in the scriptures. It's almost like you kind of stumble on this young fellow called Gideon. And the Bible introduces him by saying, Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. An ancient wine press was a large hole in the ground. In the Middle East, it's a large hole in the ground in the ancient world. And you know, it was not for threshing wheat, it's for crushing grapes. But Gideon should have been outside, maybe on top of a hill, threshing the wheat to let the wind blow the chaff away. But instead, Gideon was in the wine press threshing his wheat anyway. And why was he doing that? He was doing that because the country was in a crisis. Israel was in an absolute crisis situation. For 7 long years, the Midianites had annually raided the land, and there's tens of thousands of them. They raided the land, stealing all the grain, sheep, cattle, and they stole all the food. And the Israelites were being reduced to starvation. And they're trying to hide their food away so it would not be found by the Midianites. In fact, some of them have become so desperate, they left their homes, left their towns, left their villages, and they've gone to living caves and take their little bit of food with them. But now the marauding, cruel Midianites were due to come again, and everybody was afraid. And that explains why young Gideon was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press. The Midianites was coming. That's why he was there. Gideon was afraid. He was desperate to not attract any attention to himself because he was trying to get some food for him and his family. However, the people had prayed to God and asked God for help and mercy with the situation. And so in response to their prayers, the Lord, in the form of a man, appeared to Gideon while he was in the wine press threshing his wheat. Gideon was hiding from the Lord. Gideon was hiding, but the Lord found him. Gideon was hiding, but the Lord found him. You cannot hide from the Lord. He sees you today. And the first thing the Lord said to Gideon was, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." However, Gideon, young Gideon, was anything but a mighty hero. He was scared. He was afraid. He was anxious. And yet God told Gideon that he was the one that God had chosen to rescue Israel from the Midianites. You know, brothers and sisters, God often chooses those that others would never choose. Because God does not look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. He's looking at your heart today. Now Gideon, he really wanted to help, and he so wanted to be a brave man, but he was just so anxious about the whole encounter with the Lord speaking to him like this. And so he said, "Lord, if that's really you, could you please give me a sign to confirm that what you've said is true?" So the Lord was just so gentle with him. The Lord kindly gave him a miraculous sign. And so the Lord, in the form of a man, is talking to Gideon. And this was a sign. The Lord just disappeared before his eyes. But then Gideon freaked out over the fact that it really had been God speaking to him. He was just anxious about everything that was going on. And he said this, "I'm doomed. I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Gideon was a nervous guy. Sometimes God chooses nervous people to serve him. Yes. Wow, wow, wow. But God then spoke gently to his heart now. And the Lord said, "It's all right. Peace be still. It's all right. Don't be afraid. You will not die." Gideon responded with relief at the word from the Lord by building an altar to the Lord, and he named it Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. And God filled Gideon with his peace. Amen. This is a story. But before Gideon was to fight the Midianites, God wanted him to fight another battle first. And this is very, very important. God sent Gideon back home to his village to chop down the altar of the false god Baal and the pole of the false god Asherah. Baal and Asherah were the gods of the nations that surrounded Israel. And now Israel was embracing these pagan gods. And God told Gideon to replace those pagan altars with an altar to the Lord and use the wood from the broken pole of the false god as fuel and sacrifice the bull to the Lord on it. Gideon obeyed what God had said to him. But then his friends and other people in his village were outraged by what he had done. Just because you're obeying the Lord, it doesn't mean everybody's going to love you. Just because you're obeying the Lord, it doesn't mean everything's going to go right for you. These people wanted to kill him. They were his friends. And Gideon nearly lost his life, but it was actually his father that saved his life. After that was all sorted out, Gideon was ready for war. And then soon after this event, the Midianites, as expected, started flooding into the land. But Gideon was no longer hiding in a wine press. He had encountered God. It's okay, he's just doing something. Amen. Pastor Ash has just gone around the back. So, clothed in the power of the Holy Spirit, Gideon gathered a mighty army of Israelites together. And amazingly, he managed to gather 32,000 soldiers ready to fight the marauding Midianites. But the problem was, the Midianites, listen, had 135,000 men. Israelites, 32,000. Can we say 32,000?
32,000.
Midianites, 135,000. Well done. The Israelites were terribly outnumbered. And then God said to Gideon, he said, "You have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore, tell all the people, whoever is timid or whoever is afraid, they may leave this mountain and they may go home." Well, you'd think that'd be about 20 or 30 people. And Gideon told his men exactly what the Lord has said. And the Bible says that 22,000 of them went home. Now he's down to 10,000 men. How many Midianites were there? 10,000. 135,000. Not looking good. And then what did God say? He says, "There's still too many men." And God told Gideon to let his troops drink from a stream. And God told Gideon that all the troops who bent down to drink directly from the stream had to go home. But all those who scooped up the water in the palm of their hand and drank from their hand, they're the ones who are looking to the hills to see where the enemy's coming from. Pulled up and drank that way, they were to stay. So you kind of figure, well, how many men actually bent over to drink directly from the stream? 9,700 of them. Gideon was reduced to 300 men. Now, I know there's been a movie out called 300 about the Spartans, and even that story, that probably didn't actually happen in history. But anyway, they made a movie. This, in the book of Judges, is the real 300 men. Amen? So that's all he had, 300 men. 300 men against... This is ridiculous. It's actually impossible. You could never have a victory like this. This is insane. Nonetheless, Gideon, filled with the Holy Spirit, went to the camp of the enemy with a plan. Gideon divided his 300 men into three groups. Each soldier had a blazing torch, a large clay jar to hide the flame, and each man had a ram's horn to blow. You can come now. Amen, amen. Around midnight, the three groups took their positions around the camp of the Midianites. And when everything was quiet, and at the signal from Gideon, so it's midnight, it's quiet, Midianites are having a snooze, they're asleep. 300 men take their positions around the camp. Just think about it. The night is perfectly still, the wind's not blowing, and at Gideon's signal, all the men broke their clay jars. Amen. Blew the ram's horn. And they shouted for the Lord and for Gideon. For the Lord and for Gideon. And he needed a strepsil, so he's going to say it again. For the Lord and for Gideon.
For the Lord and for Gideon.
Yeah. And then they waved their torches. And you know, the soldiers, the Midianite soldiers, they just woke up in a panic.
Yeah.
They didn't know what was going on. And they started running around. They thought they were being under attack. And it's really interesting, he said, for the Lord and for Gideon. They'd heard about Gideon and they drew their swords and they're in the dark. And so these Midianites start slashing each other and they start fighting each other. And it's just absolutely chaotic. And all of that night and all of the next day, a battle was raging and the Israelites joined in and started chopping them down. And at the end of the day, the Midianites were completely destroyed. How many men did they have? They were completely gone. Done. They could never raid the land again. Amen. Wow. Can we say it backwards?
Wow.
So Gideon went from nervously hiding the wine press to being the mighty hero that God had declared he was. Listen, but the impossible victory was from the Lord. For all things are possible with Jesus. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Wow. That's a brief version of the story of Gideon. Amen. What a great story. There's more in there that you need to read for yourself. Let's apply it. Like ancient Israel in the book of Judges, it could be said of Australia today, that having turned their back on God, the people of Australia do whatever seems right in their own eyes. Consequently, and I've chosen my, one of the reasons, by the way, I read my sermon, I've got my sermon in front of me, I'm very, very careful what I try to be careful what I say. So at the end of a message, if somebody says, oh, you said this, I know exactly what I've said. And also I'm aware that I'm online. So I've chosen my words very carefully for what I'm going to say. But, you know, everybody, there's a lot of weird things going on in our land. Has anybody noticed, or am I the only one who notices? Some people are doing absolutely weird things. Some people are believing weird things. Some of them are supposed to be intelligent people, but some people, you know, you could be intelligent and be a fool. That wasn't in the notes. Amen. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You can have your PhDs, but if you say there is no God, you're a fool. Some people are deciding what seems right to them, and they do so with no respect for God, or even they have no respect for past history or traditions. For example, today we have men behaving and dressing like women. It's not funny. Some, and it goes the other way too, some have operations and to remove body parts to make them more female or for a female to become more like a man. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just weird. It's weird. Seriously? It's weird. It's sad. It's sad. It's sad that a human being would actually even do that to themselves.
Yeah.
They need help.
Yes.
It's unhealthy. It's unhealthy for the individuals and it's unhealthy for society as a whole. Yet that sort of behavior has become normalized because it's deemed to be right in our eyes. And that's just one example. I can write you a book and you can too. Right? But it's just one example of so many of the weird things that a society allows when it becomes godless. But this is the thing. You know, God doesn't favor or bless a nation that approves of such anti-God behavior and foolishness. He doesn't. And then without God's favor and providence, the powers of darkness of now in Australia, they've come flooding into our, careful Tony, have come flooding into our nation like marauding armies to steal, kill and destroy. Drugs. Drugs. They're everywhere. Seems to me, just anecdotally, I don't have stats, but in my world, there's just a whole nother surge of meth going on right now. Seriously? Take meth, it doesn't end well for you. It's not like, oh, I'm going to have a great life, so I'm going to take some meth. No. That's the end of it. No great life. Drugs, depression, sexual depravity, family breakdown are the Midianites that are crushing the life out of society today. And these modern Midianites are after your family. They're after your kids. They're after your grandkids. They're after your family. And they're after those that you love dearly. And ladies and gentlemen, many people around us are hurting badly. Why don't people open their eyes? People are not doing very well out there. Our advanced technology, our psychology and government legislation are not able to deliver people from the destructive forces that are running amok in our land today. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy. And today in 2023, the thief, the devil, is running amok in our land of Australia today. I'm just saying that I'm just having a real conversation with you today. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know yourself. But thankfully, God has his Gideons.
Amen. Amen.
Come on, thankfully. That's the downside. Thankfully, God has his Gideons. Yes. In every generation, God always has a remnant of people that are devoted to him and prepared to do his will.
Yes.
God has his people today who really care about the name of the Lord. Don't you just get distressed when you're watching someone on TV and they use the name of the Lord as a swear word? God has his Gideons who really care about the name of the Lord and they care about the state of Australia. We do care about this country. We care about people. We care about the people who live here, all people. And young Gideon, he wanted to make a difference. He did. He wanted to make a difference in Israel, but he just didn't know how to do that. How do you do that? I want to, but look at me. I'm anxious. I freak out easily. I want to make a difference. I don't know how to do that. And so instead of making a difference, he ended up hiding in a wine press so others could not see him threshing wheat. Gideon was discouraged. Gideon was quiet. He was afraid of being noticed. He kept his mouth closed. And like Gideon of old, we Christians want to make a difference today, don't we?
Yes. Yeah.
Of course we do.
Yes.
We want to take back what the enemy has stolen from our families.
Yes.
And we want to see God set our families and friends free from the tyranny of drugs, alcohol, sin, and Satan.
Yes.
Yet, like Gideon, we Christians sometimes find ourselves in difficult situations. We're the odd ones out. We don't fit in anymore. Sometimes we feel restricted or even disrespected for our faith. Oh, well, you talk about God, but don't talk about Jesus. We have to be careful what we say. And we don't want to upset our work colleagues or friends. We cannot express what we believe for fear of some sort of reprisal. Might lose my job. Got to feed my family. I better not say what I believe or some sort of exclusion. It's especially difficult for Christians today in schools and universities. And today we're really blessed to have Josh and Jen here today. Could you stand up just for a moment? These guys, we all know Jen, this is Josh, and we want to take them on and support them because they're working in the universities here in Western Australia. Who knows that they've got a tough job shining for Jesus. So the Lord bless you both today. The Lord bless you. And so we may feel intimidated. And so we keep our mouths closed. I told you this story years ago. It kind of fits in with it. But I remember working for Ampol. You know, I used to work for them years ago. I was a computer guy there. And I remember doing business up in Kalgoorlie. And I was sitting in the pub because that's where most of the business is done. There's probably about 12 guys. I was with another guy from Ampol who worked in Kalgoorlie. He was just a big, big guy and nice guy. But the barmaid came around and said, "What do you want to drink?" And of course, I'm second from the end, and she started that end. And of course, everybody wants the beer. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't drink beer. I'm at work. I'm a Christian. And so as it went round, but they got close to me, I'm thinking, oh man, I'm in a pub. All these guys are here. They're pretty tough looking guys, and I'm not. And maybe I should just say beer just to fit in. But I'll never forget that. And sometimes when, I mean, we're in those kind of examples, situations, aren't we? And so it got to me. And the barmaid looked at me and said, "What do you want?" I said, "I'll have a cup of tea, thanks." Man. She went ballistic at me. She lost her temper with me in front of all the guys. It was actually really interesting. I just sat there. She gave me a lecture on this is a pub, not a restaurant. If you want a cup of tea, you go next door. But here I serve beer. And what you're going to get is a beer. What are you, spoke to me like that. And that then got the tough guy next to me all upset, who was my friend. He's a big guy. He just stood up and said, "Darling, if he wants a cup of tea, you go and find a kettle and make him a cup of tea. And while you're at it, you'll make me a cup of tea as well." Praise. That cup of tea tasted really good. Amen. But we feel intimidated and sometimes far more serious than that. And so we keep our mouths closed. I can tell you about, hear another time? I don't want to rave on, but I remember I was up in Port Hedland working up there. And so I went to the pub again. And then this time they had these ladies called the raunchy ladies or whatever they're called. And I'm just here to do business and suddenly stuff happened on the stage. And I'm thinking, I had to drive everybody home because they knew I wasn't going to drink. I was thinking, I can't stay here. I'm married. I don't want to see this. And then to my horror, one of the ladies got off the stage and came straight for me. And I looked at her and shook my head saying, "It's not going to happen, darling." And then I just went to the guys doing business and there's big money involved. But I said, "I'm sorry, I'm going home. I don't want to do this." And they said, "What's the matter with you? What's the matter?" I said, "I'm a married man. I shouldn't have to put up with this." And the guy, there was some fishing guys up there. They had a trawler and they're all big, tough guys, and it was all to do with fuel and the price of fuel. And anyway, the captain heard it. He says, "You don't like this?" I said, "No, I'm a married man, I'm a Christian. I don't want to have this." And then he says, "Okay, boys, all of us out of here." And he took all the men out of that place and put them all in the back room where we went and did business. How about that? Yeah. Sometimes you got to stand your ground, but it's hard to do that. And I don't think those guys like me very much after that. Amen. But we feel intimidated. We feel like we're being like Gideon in the wine press. And as he braced for another raid from the Midianites. Sometimes life is like that. Yeah, God showed up at the side of Gideon's wine press. God went to Gideon. God went to where Gideon was. And at the wine press, this is really important. Gideon had an encounter with God. At the wine press, where he was feeling nervous and intimidated, that's where he had an encounter with God. God did not come to him and rebuke Gideon for his fear. God came to encourage him. Yes. And God said to him, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Amen. And God was not being sarcastic, and neither was he trying to be humorous with Gideon when he declared him to be a mighty hero. Rather, God was speaking words of life over Gideon. He was speaking into Gideon's spirit. But please note, this is really important. God was not doing this saying, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." God was not doing that to build Gideon's self-confidence. God was building Gideon's God confidence. Can anybody see the difference? God was saying, Gideon, you are a mighty hero because the Lord is with you. Without the Lord, you are nothing. But with the Lord, you are mighty.
Amen.
It's the same for us. We've got to abide in the vine. Abide in the vine. Jesus is the vine. Without Christ, we can do nothing. But with Christ, we are mighty warriors. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So it's important that we seek the Lord. Read the Word. Come to church as we have today. Worship the Lord. And we do these things so that we can have a regular, we can have regular encounters with the Holy Spirit. So that our God confidence increases. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, you might have a lack of confidence, but work on your God confidence. Amen. And you know, I also think it's good, I just want to say this, to come forward for prayer. You know, we do altar calls sometimes, or shall I go forward or not? But I've always found that when people lay their hands on me, I just feel the Holy Spirit doing a work in me. And if I'm seeking an encounter with God, I'd be doing everything I can and saying, Lord, just minister to me today. God meets you where you're at on your journey, and he says to you, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. After his encounter with the Lord, and even though life was still crazy and frightening, Gideon built an altar and named it the Lord is Peace. Gideon discovered that the Lord himself is our peace. Listen to me, listen to me. Everybody's searching for peace. But you'll never find true peace outside of Jesus Christ. And people are looking for happiness. You'll never find happiness outside of Jesus Christ. See, peace, true peace cannot exist outside of the Lord. The Lord is peace.
Yes. Yeah.
Seek the Lord, you find peace.
Yes.
Seek the Lord, you find peace.
Yes.
Seek the Lord, you find joy.
Yes.
Everybody understand? So that's what happened to Gideon. He met the Lord. He was then filled with peace. Know the Lord, you know peace.
Yeah.
Then before God sent Gideon to fight the Midianites, he sent Gideon home. Remember that. To destroy the altar of Baal and the pole of Asherah that was set up in the middle of his village. See, the Israelites had blended their faith in God with faith in the false gods, Baal and Asherah. They blended it. They still held on to some of God's instructions, the ones that suited them, of course. And then they mixed it all up with the pagan beliefs, with their faith in God, mixed it all together. And yet the first of the Ten Commandments says very clearly, "You shall have no other gods before me." That commandment still stands today, amen? Nonetheless, the Israelites ended up with a hybrid faith. A hybrid faith. It's not the real thing. A hybrid faith that had a distorted view of God. And they liked having a distorted hybrid faith because it was a faith that was more appealing to their sinful, fallen nature. It was a designer kind of faith that they controlled to justify their behaviors. And today, we Christians do the same thing as the old Israelites did, and we do it without being aware of it. Every day, you and I, we're bombarded with so many voices telling us what to believe, telling us how to behave. And without realizing it, we take on values and priorities that are contrary to the values of God. Daily, we tolerate images, messages, opinions on our devices and screens that communicate ideas and values that are often wicked and unclean.
Yeah.
And without realizing, some of those values and ideas find a lodging place in our thinking and in our personal values. We water down the commands of the Lord so that they fall in line with what the world is saying. And it's easy for us to do that because what the world says appeals to our fallen nature. These worldly values and ideas are like false gods, are like Baal, that pollute our faith and make us weak and ineffective. And sometimes we wonder where God is. And it's perhaps because our faith has been polluted. So before Gideon could fight those evil Midianites, he had to go home and deal with the evil in his own village first. And it was risky. And those false gods had to come down. Those false gods were the ones that caused terrible pain and destruction to come on Israel, because it was those false gods that made a way for the Midianites to come into the land. And those altars had to be replaced by a true altar to the Lord. So, dear brothers and sisters, regular self-reflection is so important in this day and age.
Yes.
We need to check our hearts daily. Because those sneaky false gods are always looking for a way into a Christian's heart.
Yes.
That's why the Apostle John said this, "Dear children," he wrote this as an old man to the Christians. He said, "Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts." And we need to draw a line in the sand and keep the false gods out in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Because our hearts belong to Jesus. Jesus Christ is our God, and Jesus Christ is our Savior. Amen.
Yes.
Then after destroying the altar of Baal, and I've nearly finished everybody, after destroying the altar of Baal and the pole of Asherah, Gideon worshipped the Lord, and he was now ready for war. He was ready for battle. However, the situation he faced was absurd. He had 300 men. The Midianites had 135,000 men. Yet, clothed in the power and the person of the Holy Spirit, Gideon conquered the mighty Midianites.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, this story of Gideon is a reminder that God really is bigger than any opposition that you face today.
Yes.
God is bigger than the enemy that you face today. God is bigger than all of the powers of darkness that are arrayed against you today. Indeed, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. Amen. And as God's Gideons today, our confidence is in the Lord. The man who nervously threshed wheat in a wine press became a national hero. God used him to make a difference to those who needed deliverance. And if God can use Gideon, then God can use you.
Amen.
Can use me. The Bible says, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him." And ladies and gentlemen, God still uses the weak things of the world to shame the strong. So in the name of Jesus, it's time to get out of the wine press. It's time to have a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit. It's time to push back against the work of the enemy. We're not doormats, amen. We're not doormats for the enemy. We're not doormats for this world. It's time to push back against the work of the enemy. It's time to stand for what is right. It's time to just chop down those pagan altars. And it's time to conquer those ugly Midianites.
Yes.
Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Come on, let's stand to our feet, shall we?